A Muslim is never desperate, no matter what. As long as you maintain the iman, you'll be okay. Last line, number 12. It's Nabul Bidah. Run away. Run as fast as your leg can carry you from Bidah. From Bidahatic and innovative insertion in the deen. Make sure things you are doing is purely based on Qala Allahu, Qala Rasulu, Qala Sahaba, and based on the understanding of the Bible predecessors. Finally, I will draw the curtain by reading these little points to you as my prayers. Ya man ajaba du'a anuhim fantasar wa hamaltahu fil fulk al-mashhun. يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كوني. يا من أمرت الموت يلفظ يونسا وسترته بشجيرة يقطين. يا رب إنا مثله في قربة فارحم عبادا كلهم ذنون. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعليه وصحبه اجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمه الله.
We start with the Muslim Youth Forum Kafuri invites the general public to their annual Ramadan lecture, which with the theme Why Islam, taking place on the 1st of October 2007, time 9 a.m., venue Madrasatul Hayatul Islamia Hall, behind Kafuri Jumat Mosque, Asabarut Kafuri. Asabarut Kafuri, the guest lecturer is Sheikh Nuruddin Abdul Malik from Abuja. We have the following announcement. Sheikh has just spoken his, we have daily tafsir, two different sections, the English and the Hausa section, at Nuru Islam. The English section takes place by 4 till after 5:30 to 6. While the Hausa version of the tafsir takes place after Tarawih prayers in the same venue. Because of time constraint, Michael's program I will not be able to announce in sequence. But we have what we call the Year Planner, which guides both new and old members on the activities of MICA. So you can request your Year Planner down. When you go down this way, there's somebody with some on the table. You pick up the Year Planner. You know the activities of the Movement for Islamic Culture and Awareness. We have tapes and CDs of past annual Ramadan lectures, the tafsir of Malam, of the guest lecturer in the morning, and the rest. You can buy them from our stand here. You can buy them at Nuru Islam.
Alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This correct utilization of law of peace, this fight is not legit. For instance, we must take the mind of opposition and competition to unity. While Islam does not, how do we reconcile this situation? Secondly,
one by one, sir.
Yes,
one by one.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, concerning the first question, how can we harmonize between what democracy says? That is, it allows, it legalizes opposition to leadership. Why Islam doesn't? And you get somebody trying to justify
those democratic principles using Quranic and Sunnatic references. Now, Islam does not call it opposition. What Islam says, it says shura, wa amruhum shura baynahum, consultation. Leader should be chosen and not be voted to office the way we do it today. So I don't want to say there is opposition the way it is in the contemporary liberal democratic system of governance. Okay, but this is not to say anything good cannot be regarded. For example, in democracy, if they say rule with honesty, rule with sincerity, this is my fault. But we are not waiting for them to say Islam has said it already for quite a long time. But it is illegal, it is haram, let me be categorical, for anyone to use Quranic text to mutilate it, to justify something done in the name of democracy. Because we've been saying, even the expression democracy is a very kafiri expression. Because demo means none. Kafiri means ruling. It's a Greek expression. Alright. Something belonging to people. But power in Islam belongs to Allah. Abraham Lincoln says democracy is the government of the people, for the people, by the people. Where Islam is saying la. Allah is the honor of power. So based on these, we want to draw the attention of those who that please stop quoting Quranic verse to justify something, a misnomer. We just happen to find ourselves there because of necessity. In that case, you disbelieve it inwardly. But within the system, try to change what can be changed. Try to Islamize what can be Islamized. Try to domesticate what can be domesticated. I hope this is well understood. Wallahu a'lam wa bihi tawfiq. Maybe if you were in Kato Learning Center yesterday, you will have listened to the lecture I delivered that dealt with this topic exhaustively. Leadership, followership, the Islamic way. And they gave me about 5 points of consideration. To the best of my ability, I did my best there. And I concluded by saying, the nature of leadership today is not the one the Ahadith are referring to. Because today you can have some leaders elected or selected or imposed on people, even trying to do our Allah's laws. For example, in Tunisia today, they have made it illegal to marry more than one wife. In Morocco as well. Whereas in Egypt, I learned on good authority, you can't take second wife until the first wife is consulted, the first wife. You consult her, you write an application to her, seeking for permission and endorsement. Please, madam, sorry, I want a second wife. So, okay, now you are blessed, you can go and do that. You know, and they are Muslims. Are you telling me you pay allegiance to these people? Despotic, trying to protect Satan? No. Now the question just says, to whom should we give our allegiance? That's that. To my understanding, Allah says in Quran, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and obey the messenger and those in authority amongst you. The ulama of tafsir, rahmatullahi alayhim, have said it means those who can give you commands. That is your teachers, your ulama, and those leaders who implement Allah's law. That's why in Al-Bukhari, the Prophet said as well, "Man ata'ani faqad ata'a Allah, wa man afani faqad afa Allah, wa man ata'a amiri faqad ata'ani, وَمَنْ عَصَى أَمِيرِي فَقَدْ عَصَانِ. He who has obeyed me obeys Allah. If somebody disobeys me, disobeys Allah. He who obeys the leader, acting on my teachings, has obeyed me. Acting on my teachings, that's the right word there. So in short, our allegiance goes to anyone that says, I believe in implementing the do's and don'ts of Allah. Not necessarily our sheikh, ustaz, malam, alfa, sultan, emir, any political leader. I know usually we tend to go to those scholars. But what each scholar counts to something else? So what to be understood is there, anyone among these categories that says, yes, Allah's law is supreme, unruminate, and it is implementable. There are chances of those laws being implemented. Then if you have this, as a leader, you give your allegiance to him. Otherwise, withhold it. Locally, you give your allegiance, you don't call it allegiance, but out of no etiquette substitute term, you give your allegiance to your scholars. Because they are those much nearer to Allah. They teach you qala Allah, qala Rasul, qala Sahaba, who else? And that is the reality. Whether you like it or not, the scholars, the shiyukh, are those with leadership. People listen to them because they tell you the truth. And they are much nearer to the implementation of those truths. But if you have any Muslim leader who surround himself with competent, honest, and sincere scholars, telling what to do, what not to do, then the allegiance goes to that ruler, but in its absence, you give it to your own scholars who teach you the truth, and those scholars also should be advised to divide it, we stand, I mean, united we stand, and what? Divide it, we fall. And I hope this answers the question.
First is the moral and legacy of Allah. And then the next, the comment is that our wife, our brothers, our sisters, the good application of the destination, that lies the betterment of the woman.
Thank you very much. I have to apply the semantic methodology. The Prophet says, if somebody says, I love you for the sake of Allah, you have to reciprocate the gesture by telling him, أحبك الله الذي أحببتني فيه. May Allah, but for whom sake, or whom do you love me, may he love you as well. So I say to you, أحبك الله الذي أحببتني فيه. وأسأله تعالى أن يجمعني وإياكم في جنات ونهر في المقعد صدق عند ملك مقتدر. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله في قلب سليم. Concerning the advice and counseling that the last line shall be implemented, that is true. Because there is no point in hearing preachings and sermons without implementation. So we ask Allah to help us implement what is going to earn us Allah's pleasure and endorsement. Now.
And all the things that are in the last, and that is sorry, will never come back to you. Since I want to hear this information.
Yes. I say amen for your beautiful prayer and to all of the Muslim Ummah as well. But you see, Quran Surah 4, Ayah 115 is categorically and emphatically clear on this issue. الله says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِي جَهَنَّمَ وَضَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. If anybody takes a different way, course of understanding from the Prophet, after the truth has been made clear to him, and decides to follow a different opinion, contrary to the one belonging to the believers, then we leave unto him what he has taken unto himself, and we drown him in the hellfire. The meaning here is, any line of understanding should be held in total agreement with the understanding held by the pious predecessors. Now, whether somebody says Isa is going to come back or not, go back to the Prophet himself. What did he say? Go back to the Sahaba and what have they said? If, according to the tradition of the Prophet, there are riwayat suggesting his second coming, if you deny it, then you are being bid'atic and not fanatic. And I want to tell you, there are riwayat talking about the coming of the Prophet Isa again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You cannot quote any Quranic ayat to support your argument is not coming, because we have to ask you, are you the one that the Quran was revealed to? You want to know? Allah says in Quran Surah 16, Ayah 44, for example, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ, look at this cup, this calendar, we have revealed to you. We want to ask you, you are quoting Quran to disprove the coming of Isa. We want to ask you, are you the one, this إِلَيْكَ, does it refer to you? To whom does it refer? To one person. Who is that? Muhammad al-Mustafa. Now for you to understand it well, you go back to understand it. But if you say that in Quran we have said, no, Quran was not revealed to you. Allah said we have written Quran to you so as to explain to people. Did he explain or he didn't? He did explain. So go back to his exposition, otherwise you are deviant. So we have the belief that Isa is going to come back. You don't need to be just trying to make one, two, three, you just want to make nothing out of something. He is going to come. This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The division really exists. But your division does not carry weight. You go back to what the Prophet has and the Sahaba. If you can prove, for example, the riwayat talking about his coming are weak, then your views can be held. But if the narrations are sound, are authentic, please do yourself good. Believe in what the previous Ummah believed in. Your belief in Jesus coming doesn't affect your iman. After all, you have everything. You don't have to wait for his coming. You have everything in your hand. If he comes while you are alive, are you fighting him? If he doesn't come and you die, you believe in that, Allah will say, why did you live long to witness his coming? So what is the problem? I know issues are open to interpretations. But Matthew, interpretations can be negative and positive. So be with positive interpretations. Allahu Alam.
As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. The commentators of the executive presenting the arguments, the commentators are presenting the work.
جزاك الله خير. أنت قلت بارك الله وأنا أقول وفيك بارك. Because بارك الله فيك is an expensive prayer for you. So don't leave it to go on commented upon. I give it back to you brother and sister as well. بارك الله فينا وفيكم جميعا. Concerning what you say, some commentators are equating or are symbolizing the Western nation, the Judeo-Christian nation, the Euro-American Israelitic nations, and the Gog and Magog. What is your comment? Yes, I know of a book written by Ali Akbar, a naturalized British, originally Pakistani or Indian. I read the book for some years back. The name of the book is Israel and the Quranic Prophecies. In the book, he tried to say what you are just now saying. But look, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, anthropologically speaking, they took their ancestry or ancestral origin to Japheth, because Prophet Noah alayhi salam gave birth to 3 children in the alley out of men. You have Ham, you have Sam, and you have Yafet or Japheth. So they are saying Japheth was the great grandfather of the Gog and Magog. Then we went on to say Gog and Magog were later called Teutonic and Plutonic, and later they were called Communist and Capitalist, and later the West and the East. It's all beautiful, beautiful exposition. But before it is accepted, that has to be, you have to take it back to what you have in our hands. One of our scholars, a sheikh, I think it's today's, if I'm not forgotten, has said, let's be careful. We shouldn't try to just be mutilating Quranic prophecies, trying to say it means A, B, C, and D. So in short, he is not of the view that the West and the East represent Jews and not Jews. Okay. But this is not to deny the fact that all the doing what Jews are going to do, definitely are its own people. In principle, isn't it? Because Jews and Majus, when they come, according to the riwayah, they are going to commit bad acts on the land. They will go to a village, the believers will withdraw from the village, and Gog and Magog will consume all the waters in the locality there. They will plunder all crops. Then later, Allah will kill them. Their dead bodies will remain just littering the places. They will be given bad udo, and later Allah will send from giant birds and pick them and thrown to nowhere, signifying the end of time. Okay. But tell me, they are America or whatever, this is not correct, totally. Yes, we agree, anybody representing the behavior of Dajjal or Ya'juj and Ma'juj can be said to be part of him in principle. And in that case, even in the Muslim nation, you get people like this. So we should be very careful with that commentary. So I have told you here, I read it, but listen to what some scholars have said about it. And I hope you understand my answer well. Wallahu a'lam.
I need no explanation for how you get the camera from Sisha,
Politics, like I said yesterday in my lecture, politics is classified into 5 categories. According to my classification, there is what I call commercial politics. There is politics of mental contest. That's number 2. Category 3, there is politics of gangsterism, politics of rascalism, acrobatic politics. And number 4, there is politics of name. You want to be heard, you want to be known. You want the Leviticus numbers, those the Pentateuch, you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, the nation of Lot. He says the contemporary version of Sodom and Gomorrah is Hollywood in America. So Dajjal will emerge and then things will come to an end. Let me skip over some points I have with me to just go. That's why I told you the lecture is likely to be relatively lengthy. We just go to the hadith that says, among the signs of the moral decadence that will befall this world is the Muslim Ummah, though great in number, though multitudinal. Their number can be calculated, incalculable. But Allahu Akbar, they have been described as Gufa Kabufa Israel. Okay? This hadith is in Abu Dawud. Bukhari didn't transmit this hadith. No Muslim. I have done my best even to go across the city of Sihar completely to find the hadith. I came across it in Sunan Abi Dawud. Abu Dawud was a disciple of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. His book Sunan is one of the reliable six collected hadith, Sittu Sihah. Okay. In Abu Dawud, there is a chapter, there is the book, Kitab al-Mala'im, Bab al-Khamis, the book of tribulation, al-Mala'im. The fifth chapter. Then we have a chapter, Bab Tada'il Umam al-Islam, the chapter talking about the ganging up of other nations against the Muslim nation. That's how he gave the chapter. Chapter, the ganging up of other nations against the Ummah of Muhammad. Then he called hadith number 3740. And the hadith has been declared reliable by our scholarly scholar, Al-Sheikh Al-Albani, alayhi rahmatullah. Listen to the hadith. He says, Haddathana Abdul Rahman ibn Ibrahim al-Dimashqi. حدثنا بشر ابن بكر حدثنا ابن جابر ابو عبد السلام عن ثوبان قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوشك الامم ان تداعى عليكم كما تداعى الاكله الى قفأتها الى قفأتها فقال قائل أو من قلة نحن يومئذ يا رسول الله أو من قلة نحن يومئذ يا رسول الله قال بل أنتم يومئذ كثير 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 ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل. Why? Then he says ولينزعن الله من صدور عدوكم المهابة منكم وليقذفن الله في قلوبكم الوهن. فقال قائل يا رسول الله وما الوهن؟ قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. This hadith is the one that I can say is the bedrock, is the main topic of discussion. But you cannot talk in isolation of the potent said by the Prophet ﷺ, because it's one of them. So the hadith is very clear. Translation. The Prophet says, some umam will gang against you. They will be scrambling to have you possessed, completely brought under their own control, under their armpit. They are going to twist you. They are going to subjugate you. Okay? They are going to be economically nowhere, novice. Politically, economically, socially, any lead in the English lexicon is going to bear negative consequences on you. Now, the Sahaba were surprised. Ya Rasulullah, is it on account of our numerical inferiority? Are we going to be numerically inferior? In other words, is our number going to be so skeletal? He said, no, antum kathirun, you are going to be great, numerically superior. But you will be just like, now the issue comes. You are going to be like the floating foam. And the chairman, I believe, has explained to you nicely, captivately, how that floating foam is. In a very, very captivating way. He did explain to you the meaning of that. This is a foam flowing in a river, a fast flowing river. Can it resist it? Can it, just like a stick that has dried and you throw it into a fast moving river, can that dry stick, can it have any resilience? Can it resist the wave? That is how we have been, subhanAllah, explained by the Prophet ﷺ. That is what is going to be the loss of the Muslim Ummah during the end of time. But that is not without any reason. And this is what the Prophet is saying. The cheapest